Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Sergeant Hosford, you are recognized.
Mr. President, the Governor of Florida.
Let the Governor be received.
7 years ago, I stood on the steps of the old Capitol building to articulate a new vision, launch a bold agenda, and make a promise to produce big results. Today, I stand here in this chamber to report that together, we have made good on that agenda. We have been faithful to that vision. We have delivered big results, and we have set the standard for the rest of the country to follow. We are the free state of Florida.
I almost thought he was going to say Marshall there for a second. We are. Anyway, we just watched that movie recently. So obviously the governor yesterday doing the state address and addressing the legislature and talking about all the things that he has accomplished. Before, and by the way, I did in the 5 o'clock hour, we went through a lot of the second half of the speech, which is all of the particulars of what he's done and, you know, all fair accomplishments. I thought, again, because this is my bent a little bit, I think in the spirit of civics, and since it was what he led with, the beginning of his speech was much more interesting than the litany of accomplishments, which is fine. He's done that many, many times. But I thought that there was stuff at the beginning that I thought was much more interesting.
This year marks the commemoration of America's 250th birthday. As we reflect on that transformational revolution, we can proudly claim that it is our free state of Florida that best represents that enduring spirit of 1776. Of all the 50 states, it is our sunshine state that best fulfills the founding fathers' vision of a Republican government that protects freedom, promotes opportunity, and provides an open field and fair chance for people to make the most of their God-given ability.
Yeah, man. The next time somebody says Florida man, you say America man. Because it's true. I mean, you know, there's a lot of ways in which freedom is messy and ugly and wild and fun and, you know, among other things. That's some of what he's got. But thinking about the foundations of the American Republic and echoing a lot of the comments that have been made earlier in the day by Senate President Ben Albritton, which we talked about last hour. That's all. You can go listen to the podcast on that, John. Worth listening to the podcast on Ben Albritton and the value of the Senate.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was really good.
Anyway, so go to the newsradio923.com webpage or download the News Radio Pensacola app, and you can catch that for yourself. It's a great way to re-listen to anything that you might have missed. Okay, but back to Governor DeSantis yesterday.
The central question the founding fathers sought to answer, it was not about taxation, representation, or even the legitimacy of monarchy, as important as those issues were. But it was even more fundamental than that. The founding fathers were students of history. They studied the history of every republic that had ever existed. They recognized the common thread that united the experience of each and every one of those prior republics. And it was simply this. Every one of them had failed.
Yeah. This is sometimes Americans who haven't had enough education on history and politics and civics or whatever you want to call it. You are the inheritors of an experiment that, and you said, well, why do they call it an experiment? I mean, it's been around for, you know, 250 years. Well, because historically speaking, it's never worked. Not long term. Self-government, freedom, it's never worked. Long term, it's always collapsed. That's why when you go back and read the classics, you know, you read your Plato, for example, and he goes through, and even Aristotle, but you go through the devolution of politics, and democracy is always the, like, right before the catastrophe phase. Democracy always collapses for a variety of reasons. I don't know how much I'll be able to explain about it, but that's the truth historically. And so the idea of, can you create a persistent, as in a long-lasting, self-governing, that's a republic as opposed to a monarchy, is that even possible?
The founders believe, in the words of Alexander Hamilton, that it fell to the United States of America to determine whether societies of men are really capable or not of establishing good government from reflection and choice, or whether they're forever destined to depend on their political constitutions on accident and force.
Yeah, did they get lucky, or were they really capable of self-government? And look, this is a very easy question to answer in a scary way. What would you think about America being run by all the teenagers? What if everybody died except for the teenagers? How would we do? It would not be so great. Why? Impulsive, hormonal, stupid, immoral, right? Teenagers. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're wonderful and we love them. They're kids, but they need parents. They need police. They need teachers. They need a lot of guardrails. Why? They're not capable of self-government. Not because they're not human, but because they're not the right kind of human, at least not yet. Well, if you have a nation full of the equivalent of teenagers, self-government doesn't work. You need people who are knowledgeable. You need people who are moral. You need people who are capable. Basically, you need to be good and also have skills, right? The two basic things that come when it comes to kids, you're always, you know, trying to teach them, make better choices and learn these skills so that you're not incompetent. Those are the two things you got to protect kids against, their incompetence and their evil. And you got to train it out of them for a long time, and it still doesn't always work right away. But yeah, can it work? Well, it depends on the people. That is the key element of making self-government work. And can we succeed where everybody else has failed? We'll come back to that in just a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Dealing with an accident that happened at Pace and Cervantes right now. It's causing some minor delays in the area. But other than that, I-10, I-110, everything else is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
So on the 250th anniversary year, birthday year, whatever you want to call it, Governor DeSantis in State of State is asking the question and reminding us that this country was not founded on the assumption or the certain historical belief that self-government could work for a long time. It was really founded on the hope that it might. On the hope that it might. Because as much as we believed in, you know, these truths are self-evident that all men are created equal and that they should dissolve the bands that tie them to other governments and that everybody has individual rights, all that, it still had not worked very well for a long time, ever, anywhere. So can we create one that really work well, that will really work well for a long time? And so you have this kind of famous story about this with Ben Franklin, but he's going to get there by, well, here.
Founders also knew that the ideals articulated in the Declaration of Independence and the framework of government contained in the Constitution were necessary but not sufficient conditions to ensure the success of the American experiment. In fact, a decade after the call for independence was made, Benjamin Franklin walked out of the Constitutional Convention. Having worked in Philadelphia to craft a proposed constitution, he was approached on the street because they had been meeting in secret, and he was asked, "Dr. Franklin, have you given us a republic or a monarchy?" His response was, "A republic if you can keep it. The best Declaration of Independence and Constitution in the world do not run on autopilot. As President Reagan reminded us, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. It is not passed along in the bloodstream. It must be fought for. It must be protected. And it must be handed on to future generations."
Absolutely. Amen. But still, why? Because, in my opinion, I don't think we talk enough about this. And, you know, having actually taught this at the college level and seeing the look of, oh, I never thought, you know, like that's, why though? Why is it that limited government, high freedom, private property, capitalist free enterprise, free markets, why is it that this works here and has worked for 250 years, and it hasn't always worked? Why? Well, I mean, you could ask de Tocqueville, but I'm sure the vast majority of people haven't read de Tocqueville, and that's fine, okay? There's a couple of key ingredients, but the short answer is it depends on who the people are. It ultimately depends on the nature of the people using that form of government. For example, the teenagers. I mean, if you've read Lord of the Flies, what happens when you put a bunch of kids on an island? It deteriorates into chaos and totalitarianism and violence and barbarism, the state of nature that people like John Locke and Thomas Hobbes imagined. And okay, I mean, again, not to just name drop philosophers, but the idea is that people on their own often become, total scumbags. They hurt each other. They steal from each other. We have a lot of that still. But we have a lot of that not happen because there are enough people who are good. There are enough people who either don't want to do bad things and therefore do not do bad things, but actively do good things to help each other. Or they might want to do bad things, but they are restrained, either because they are fearful of social consequences or because they are fearful of legal consequences or because they are fearful of just somebody fighting back or because they're afraid of God. Because they're, afraid that if they do the thing they want to do, then God will see and God will punish them. All of those things work together to make people behave like they're not evil. And so you can afford to give them freedom because they're self-governing. They have a high degree of self-imposed order. You do not have to add very much externally imposed order on them. And you can afford to have a small government with low taxation, a low level of regulation, and a high amount of personal freedom. But if you take people, even those same people, and they're not as self-restrained, not as self-governing, they have wicked desires and do not restrain them, or they do not believe God sees them, or they do not believe that the police will catch them, or they just have a higher level of desire to do wrong or be selfish or take advantage or lie or steal or sexually abuse or whatever the case may be, they use social media. did I say it out loud? Okay. Anyway, those people cannot be trusted with a high level of freedom. They cannot be trusted with a low level of government because they will abuse it. They're the teenagers or the six-year-olds. And if the average level of maturity, virtue, decency, kindness, and I will say religion because that's what the founders thought, declines, we lose the functioning republic anyway. The republic requires a certain kind of person. And if enough people aren't like that, and you see how this progression works. I mean, imagine, I'll take teenagers just as an example, okay? Imagine you live in a city where there's no curfew because the teenagers are well-behaved, which can happen, okay? And then imagine that the teenagers start declining a little bit and some of them take advantage of the late night activities in the dark and they do stuff in the park and they do stuff in, old warehouses and whatever, and they create problems. They break windows, they do graffiti, they use drugs, they drink, they party, they whatever, but they cause problems. What happens? A few bad teenagers bring down the moral average enough and create problems enough that people go to their city council and they say, make a curfew. They restrict freedom. Why? Because most people can't handle it? No, because some are abusing it, and so we're willing to take the trade-off in reducing freedom in order to gain protection against the problems caused by freedom, which freedom always causes problems. Not because every use of freedom causes problems, but because if you create freedom for a group of people, there will be some people who use it wrong. Okay? So that's how government grows. Freedom creates problems. The moral average declines. That's more problems. People say, government, please solve this for us. The only other way to solve this problem is long-term. People need to have better faith. They need to believe more in the rules. They need to have more fear of getting caught or believe that doing good is a good thing. If you long-term create good people, they will naturally handle or be able to use and even demand lesser government. But this is the fight. This is always the fight. So the problem is, you can't keep a republic like ours was meant to be unless the people continue to be good and capable and, frankly, moral and religious. And the founders knew this, and that was the story with Ben Franklin, and that was the thing that the governor was getting at, though he didn't get into the details about it. And so the job in education is not just to teach people how to do math and how to speak English and, how to have healthy bodies. You've got to teach them ethics, religion. You've got to teach them the importance of serving their fellow man. You've got to teach them all the things that make them good people. That is more important than their ability to do math and read and write.
You look around the country right now, and there's no doubt some reason for pessimism. In the past decade, we've seen cities like Chicago and San Francisco be destroyed by failed ideologies. We've witnessed once dominant states spark an exodus among their own citizens due to their own harmful policies. And even as we cheered the removal of a Marxist dictator in Venezuela, we saw the election of a Marxist mayor in our nation's largest city. Yet here in Florida, there is cause for optimism.
I was amazed that there were people groaning about that. Democrats in the audience were groaning about that, which is amazing.
Over the past 7 years, we witnessed a great experiment as different approaches to government have been tried in different states. States that have followed Florida's approach have seen population and business growth and have maintained healthy fiscal and budget postures. States that have pursued a different course have hemorrhaged population, income, and businesses, and many of them are in the midst of dire fiscal and budget crises. The results of this grand experiment are in. People have voted with their feet. We can confidently say that Americans prefer the warmth of Florida freedom to the frigidity of New York collectivism.
See what he did there versus Mamdani's speech that you heard him talking about the other day quite a bit of depth. Yeah, if we win the prosperity, or we win the military safety, or but we lose the character, we lose. Character, ethics, values, service, religion, those are the things that has made America strong through all these years. And if we lose the institutions that promulgate those things, and we lose the citizens having those things, we lose anyway. Because you'll either have artificially imposed order by a totalitarian-style government, or you'll just have the chaos that comes from having bad people with a lot of freedom. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, seeing a 12-minute delay in Avalon Boulevard southbound heading toward I-10, experiencing a 10-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
As Christians, we make much of Jesus' efficacious death through crucifixion, and we make much of his resurrection from the grave, and we should. However, a major moment in the life of Christ that's often overlooked is his ascension. After all, Christ's ascension is his coronation, his exaltation, his enthronement. It signifies mission accomplished and job well done. At his ascension, Jesus is once again seated at the right hand of God the Father, and his enemies become his footstool. On the day that Jesus ascended, two promises were made. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come, and indeed he did, powerfully, in Acts chapter 2. Secondly, one of the angels promised that Jesus would return in the same way that he was received up into heaven. The ascension is important because it is a reminder that Jesus is coming again, and as Christians, we say with John the Revelator, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly."
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What did you expect, kid? It's my TV arm.
So John says, boy, man, we got everything today. We got the foundation of the American government. We got religion. We got ethics. We got education.
And music.
The value of the Senate. We got good music. Yeah, you know, all right. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Top White House officials are meeting with the foreign ministers of Denmark and Greenland today as President Trump continues ramping up his talk of acquiring the territory. Last week, President Trump said he'd love to make a deal with them, but one way or the other, we're going to have Greenland.
All I can think of, I'm stuck on this, is when you say we have top officials working on it, the line in Raiders of the Lost Ark, which top men? Top men. Like they
I
never
can't
say.
Believe you didn't have the audio ready to go.
Well, you know, some things.
You're slipping.
What else you got?
where was I? NASA is preparing for its first ever medical evacuation from the International Space Station. Four members of Crew 11 are expected to undock from the ISS later today. Splashdown for them would be Thursday morning off the California coast.
We have top men working on it.
There
right
we go.
Now.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump reportedly weighing military action in Iran, sending a message to anti-regime protesters that help is on the way during a speech in Detroit.
To all Iranian patriots, keep protesting, take over your institutions if possible, and save the name of the killers and the abusers that are abusing you. You're being very badly abused.
The death toll is reportedly more than 2,500. Vice President J.D. Vance meeting with Danish and Greenlandic officials in Washington as President Donald Trump insists on controlling Greenland. Fox's Jessica Rosenthal.
President Trump recently reiterated his interest in acquiring or purchasing Greenland, saying NATO should want the U.S. to have more control in the interest of European and American security. He said on Air Force One this past Sunday.
You know what their defense is? Two dog sleds.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got a little bit of a warmer start to our day today than we've had earlier this week. It's 47 right now with cloudy skies. Have seen a few showers off and on this morning. We'll get a full check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, the three finalists for Pensacola Police Chief agree on their top priorities, but they did rank them just a bit differently. Retired Tampa Police Chief Brian Dugan says, the most important thing for him is trust.
You have to work on having your police officers trust their chief of police. You have to have the community trust their chief of police. And if they trust the chief, then it starts running down throughout the organization.
And Grand Rapids Chief Eric Winstrom ranked officer morale as his top priority. Acting Deputy Chief Eric Goss focused on technology needs. All three did address questions on community relations, budget challenges, and transparency during the public forum last night from the Sanger Theater. Panel interviews happened this morning at City Hall. A cantonment man is facing charges after leading deputies on a high-speed chase back on New Year's Eve. 28-year-old Ladarian Grandison was arrested on a warrant for fleeing law enforcement, reckless driving, and driving with a suspended license. Escambia deputies say they tried to pull him over on Highway 29 and Pinestead Road for not having a tag light and the wrong license plate, but Grandison then reportedly sped through a church parking lot, turned off his headlights, and ran a red light at high speed. Deputies say they identified him through motel surveillance footage. Grandison was released on a $21,000 bond with a special condition. He is not allowed to drive. Well, some news out of Fort Walton Beach. A massage parlor employee is accused of battering a health inspector. Now, police say this happened Monday at the Palms of Emerald Coast massage parlor on Beale Parkway. Investigators say an employee became upset during a routine health inspection, then started yelling at the inspector before trying to force her out of the business. Well, when officers tried to detain the woman, they say she began defecating towards them in an attempt to evade arrest. Fang Wang was arrested. She's been charged with battery on a specified official. The investigation into that case continues. Now, the number of abortions in Florida are down significantly. With more details on that, it's News Radio's Austin Price.
According to state data, about 44,000 abortions were reported for 2025, which is down from nearly 65,000 the year before. It was the first full year under a law that bans most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. The law took effect in May of 2024. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Austin. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday giving his State of the State address, and apparently he still holds a grudge against a fellow Republican. Before yesterday's State of the State in Tallahassee, DeSantis reportedly refused to shake the hand of House Speaker Daniel Perez. Perez was standing next to Senate President Ben Albritton when DeSantis approached, and DeSantis shook Albritton's hand, but then apparently refused to shake Perez's. All three are Republicans. DeSantis and Perez did have their differences in last year's legislative session over issues such as spending and Hope, Florida. Perez says other lawmakers noticed the handshake snub as well. So far, no comment on that from Governor DeSantis. 735 at News Radio. John's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by ECUA. Bulkway Services now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still rolling accident-free right now, but not delay-free. Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, experiencing a 15-minute delay. And also Highway 29 approaching 9 Mile Road, about a 12-minute delay. And Highway 90 southbound making your way to I-10, about a 10-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thank you very much. And 47 right now, we've got cloudy skies. Our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Ford Motor is expanding its Bronco SUV lineup to include a new model that the automaker says has a mix of off-road and street performance capabilities. Ford officials declined to discuss pricing for the vehicle, but called it a more attainable performance model. Amgen CEO Bob Bradway told CNBC he thinks its company's obesity drug can help patients manage weight loss long term, which he indicated is a challenge. Amgen revealed a trial of experimental GLP-1 drug MariTide that showed patients were able to maintain weight loss for 2 years when given a monthly injection. JPMorgan Chase CFO Jeremy Barnum said the industry could fight President Trump's demand for credit card price controls. Banks and industry insiders say a proposed 10% cap on credit card interest rates would result in fewer credit card accounts for Americans and a dip in spending for the U.S. economy. Futures are slightly lower. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 398. That's your money now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary. And you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us today at 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Burn. Burn. Yeah. Burn. Down with the DC talk.
makes you think?
In addition, after our hundreds of interactions these past 3 years, my Australian accent has improved dramatically. I won't attempt it in a formal setting like this, but it's gotten very good. So thank you for that.
So the most important thing that I'm going to ask Mayor D.C. Reeves as he joins me here on the air once a week. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Good to have you. Get the formalities out of the way.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I can't wait for this.
Yeah. Well, you're the one who said all my questions are wingnut questions, so that's fine. Are you willing to do the rest of the interview in an Australian accent?
Yeah, I'm not that good. Actually, I heard you say that you were going to ask me to do this at some point last week, and I actually told a friend of mine who's in the car, I was like, yeah, whenever I heard that, I said, hey, the problem is he's going to ask me to do it, and my best Australian word is a four-letter word. That's the only problem. Is that I've heard it from Tyson so many times that I still can't say on the air.
Well, I feel like if you put out there that you're able and then you don't demonstrate, I feel like, I mean, it seems like a false claim, you know? So
broken promises, yeah, you know, of a politician.
I'm but I guess the risk you run is, you know, do I prove it and swear on the radio, or do I just let people doubt me? So right. I'll have to trust you. But okay, fair enough.
Still too formal the setting. This is a very formal show.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, 100%. I wear a tie every day. Okay, so on to more substantial things. Big week last week. I mean, the American Magic ribbon cutting, grand opening, SailGP announcing that we're going to bring. You know, oh hey, by the way, we're bringing a training ground for an international super sport here, just by the way, ho-hum, right? Kind of nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, again, that would be the equivalent of F1 or NASCAR saying, hey, we're going to buy 45 acres here. We're going to build a test track, and the teams are going to come in all the time. If you heard that with sports we're all more familiar, or a little more familiar with, and that are a little older, so to speak, in terms of the league's structure, it would be world news, and certainly within the sailing community, this is world news. You actually just go to a Google News search and type in Pensacola SailGP. I mean, it's being covered in New Zealand and Australia and Europe and everywhere that this is going to be happening. So I think we're just scratching the surface of the understanding of the value of basically bringing the unequivocal highest level of international sailing on this planet. And they're making a headquarters, in essence, here. I think we're just scratching the surface. I don't think we even understand, I even understand yet, what the value of that and what it will be to us in 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, literally the first thing you get when you do that is the AI overview. Pensacola is now a major SailGP hub, serving as the first permanent shared training base for SailGP teams via a new partnership with the American Magic team. And then there's several other, you know, news outlets reporting on it, which is pretty fantastic. By the way, you got me thinking. You've no doubt seen the joke photo of downtown where Palafox has been turned into basically a lazy river, which I thought was pretty creative and clever. But, you know, since we're bringing SailGP here, could we not transform Palafox into, say, a Formula One track? And
Anything's possible. I think on that photo I posted, I said, I can hear it now. The mayor only cares about people who live on the water.
Good one.
River comes in.
That's great.
Sorry for my, you know, the honeymoon is over, as you know.
Right.
The saltiness begins. You know?
I actually thought it was kind of funny because it's not a lazy river if it's not a loop. So I thought it was kind of a misstatement. But okay, it's fine. We just leave these things go. Something that we're coming up tomorrow on the red light camera presentation by Chief Brown, but I just want to, as I understand it, she's only going to be presenting things that are, I mean, it's, we're actually going to learn less because the information is by a formal requirement by the state that you go July to July. Is that right?
That's correct. This is supposed to be a reporting for the previous fiscal year, obviously July to July fiscal year for the state of Florida. So all she's going to be reporting on is the first few months of data. So in essence, this is already information that we have shared, actually even less updated information than we've shared already publicly. But to spin this forward, my last update on red light cameras is what it's always been, which is we want safety improvements. We want to look at intersections and injury/fatalities at those intersections. Has it been helpful? And has it been helpful citywide? I think, Andrew, you've mentioned we talked about it on radio about, hey man, is this intersection the one that has a light or isn't?
Yeah.
And it's that uncertainty. Is that having any reverberating impact of just seeing less accidents across the city. So those are the analytics that our police department is going to be looking into. And, you know, I maintain from day one what we've said all along, which is the goal here is public safety. And if it's not creating a market improvement after we have enough of a sample size as we're trying to continue to build, then we would modify from there. So, right. So we'll continue to take a look at it. But yes, if you see that on the agenda item, this is not going to be up to the day or up to the week information. This is actually going to be information that's already been shared by us in the public realm that's backdated for a state requirement.
You know, it might be worth a call to Chief Brown. I don't know how frequently you talk with her, but it might be worth her presenting, okay, this is what we have to report to you from the state, but this is the numbers as we actually have them current to date. That way people aren't confused and they actually get the good information along with the outdated information. Otherwise, people are going to be very baffled by all this. I worry. Anyway, just a thought. We're talking to D.C. Reeves. He is the mayor of Pensacola. Hang out for just a second, D.C. We got traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Anderson Subaru. No accidents to report to you right now. But Highway 90 going southbound, coming into Pensacola, expect a 22-minute delay there. That's the only delay I'm seeing. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Obviously, we are in the middle of the Pensacola Police Chief interview process. It's all interviews all week. Can you maybe just take a second and explain to people who they have been interviewing with, what the process has been that's going to culminate with tomorrow's actual panel interviews, or today's, sorry, panel interviews?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really been a two-day process yesterday and today. In summary, there was kind of an internal rotation. So we have three candidates, Brian Dugan, former police chief of Tampa, Eric Winstrom from the current police chief in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Eric Goss, who's the acting deputy chief, of course, of the PPD. So the three of them did kind of an internal rotation with myself, with legal, with the council president and council executive in the morning yesterday. And then in the afternoon, we kind of did an external round, kind of carousel of the faith community, that leaders across in every corner of the city in the faith community had a chance to meet and greet with them. The business community, thank you to the chamber, Todd Thompson, for helping us put that on. And PBD, obviously the opportunity that for all three of them to spend some time at police headquarters and meet some of the folks there. So that was yesterday, of course, culminating last night at 5:30 at the Sanger. We did a town hall format where all three were answering the same questions in different order. We did live stream that and record it if you didn't hear about it or you do want to see their responses to. And those were questions from the public. Those were not from me. Those are not from us. We got about 40-ish questions from the public, and we distilled those down to 8 or 9 questions that with the kind of the same themes to cover all of our bases.
Yeah.
And then today is the formal interview, the panel, where there'll be 1 at 9 o'clock, 1 at 10 o'clock, 1 at 11 o'clock, also going to be live streaming and recorded as well, if you want to be able to watch this. So bottom line is this, Andrew, this isn't a requirement. This isn't a local requirement, a state requirement. The minimum requirement would be we could have 3 one-hour interviews and pick someone. But I feel like public safety is everybody's number one issue, as it should be. It's my number one issue, what I ran on and what I'll continue to discuss. And this job is too important for it to just be decided after a couple of interviews in an office somewhere. I think that having this public interaction is important. And when whoever takes this job has had the ability to interact with our community recently, I think is extremely valuable as well.
One thing, do we have a timeline? I mean, you're not deciding today, but do you have a timeline of expectation of when right. you will make a decision?
Not an exact day. I mean, obviously, I think our goal would be next week.
Okay.
And I got to get with HR and all of the nuts and bolts and making sure we do everything in the procedure we're supposed to. So I'm not holding myself to a particular day. But obviously, you have two external candidates. You know, their decision needs to be made. This isn't going to be something that takes 3 months to do or okay. 2 months to do, right? We need to go ahead and make a decision so everybody can kind of get on with their lives, so whichever way it goes. So that's what I'm shooting for, but not an exact day.
You know, I know it would be rude of me to ask, you know, if you've made a choice, if you have an early front runner or anything like that. But I will ask you this question, which is, you know, you and I have talked before about the value of having a nationwide search as opposed to just hiring internally. That's been a lot of discussion in town, obviously, and the union has come out with their support, whatever. Mm-hmm. The one question I do think that might be helpful is, based on what we've done so far, which is everything but the formal interviews, has having the interviews confirmed to you the value of doing this process, and has it made it challenging or harder for you because, in the good way, you now realize that you have more than just one obvious candidate?
Exactly. I mean, I think, again, this is, other than the mayor's office, or maybe equal to, honestly, it's the most public-facing director job in the city. There's no doubt about it. And it affects what everybody in the city cares about most. That doesn't mean that the person that this woman or this man likes is going to get picked, but the bottom line is there needs to be that front-facing interaction and setting the standard that whoever's in this job is going to be out in the community and be, when it's good times, when it's bad times, the expectation is that this person's out there leading our city and showing leadership in that way. So to me, again, it just didn't feel right to say, well, yeah, legally speaking, the decision rests with the mayor and we can interview a couple folks and pick somebody. We would have been not breaking any rules. We could have just done that, but I felt like that was a disservice to the citizens. And again, whether it's internal, whether it's external, I think we should show transparently that the best person, most fit for the job, should be able to stand up through a semifinalist aspect, through a finalist aspect, and be the right person for the job. So I think it's been very good, very valuable, and it also has given opportunities for people to ask questions that I may not think of. If you're in the faith community, you're going to have different sets of questions potentially than I'm going to have, or if you're in the business community, you're going to have different questions. And so I think that interaction is extremely important as well.
Yeah, no, I very much agree. And I thought that, the different, you get different interests and different focus when you have not just the general public, but when you have these particular interest areas. And I thought that was good. And you would not get the same level of answers that you get if it was just one person going through the process, because they know in advance it's already a done deal. So, it seems to me like this has been a valuable process. And I just wanted to make sure to confirm with you that you have found it valuable, which I presume means that possibly it makes your decision harder, possibly it makes your decision easier in some ways and clarifying, but in any case, that it's a better decision than it would have been made otherwise. So, that's great. One thing I just... We could spend a lot of time talking about this, but it is kind of a brief thing. Have you guys figured out with the Escambia Children's Trust where you are? Is that done? Is that almost done? Where's that at?
Yeah. So we're pretty much at the finish line. All we were really down to is calculating what the number that we're going to be requesting is. And the math is not a mystery without getting into boring details. The short version is, the money that's owed to our CRA, less the money that the Parks and Rec Department with its ECT grant received. Not what they were awarded, but what they actually received. So that's the math. The actually received part, that's the math we're doing to say, okay, well, you owe us about $2.4 million and then less blank. And it's just making sure that we get our accounting correct so that when we go request that. But what I can tell you is ECT is aware of our direction on this. Certainly our team is aware of direction on this. So I expect mid-February we should try to get this to a resolution on both the ECT side and on the city side.
Very good. A lot of interesting stuff at the agenda review that we don't have time to get into. The Pensacola Sports Building, the discussion, brief though it was, about the structure of the CRA, Baptist demolition, the CDBG grants, all of that stuff. But, we just don't have time to talk about it today. So we'll end with a lightning round, which we always do. First question is, do you double dip a chip under what circumstances?
If I'm in the friendly confines of my home, then I feel like anything goes. Not during a party. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about that if you come over. I feel like if I'm in my home around family, just like, sharing a soda or whatever, I think that's the only place that a mayor could ever be double dipping the chip.
So you in Sydney, yes. You at, the reception for police chief, no.
Yeah, you can see the Facebook post now. This is a double dip of the chip by the mayor of the city of Pensacola.
We always knew he was double dipping somehow. Yeah, that's funny.
Exactly.
Do you like to listen to individual songs, like playlists, or are you an album guy?
No, yeah, I'm an individual, you know, a little too much ADD.
And you're such a millennial.
Individual, okay. Song, bouncing just all over the place. A very ADD play history as well.
I got you. All right. And then genres, the last one, this artists, is the one that everybody really wants to know. You ready? Do you ever change your clothes in the car? Do you ever do so after having been mayor?
Actually, yes, I did last week when I left a event that somebody asked me to come to at a bowling alley. I was there for like 20 minutes. Then actually had to go meet all the American Magic and 72 people, which I decided to not wear, you know, my bowling outfit type of thing too. So, yeah, absolutely. Zaragoza Street, changed right in the car as quick as possible. And as paranoid as possible that somebody's going to wonder what I was doing.
And that's why I have concerns about too many cameras. D.C. Reeves, he is the mayor of Pensacola.
Fair enough.
As always, thanks for the time. We look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night and the meetings with the police chiefs today. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
7:55 on News Radio 92.3. See, John?
Have you ever tried to change in a Mustang or a Camaro or anything like that?
I don't know what we got to talk about past relationships. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Oh, this got deep. Okay, so we've got no accidents to report to you right now. Let's see here. Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola down to a 7-minute delay. And also Highway 29 just south of 9 Mile Road approaching I-10, about a 12-minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Is your home your dream home? Or does it at least have the potential to be your dream home? Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you just need new appliances. If that's the case, you need to check out Topps Appliance in Milton. Locally owned and operated, Topps Appliance has just what you need to turn your home into your dream home. Top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, stoves, plus washer and dryer combos. Topps Appliance carries the name brands that you know and trust, including GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and so much more. And they have a full installation and service department, something the big box stores just don't offer. They also keep most items in stock so you can take it home today. Turn your ordinary home into your dream home with an appliance upgrade from Topps Appliance. Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Pensacola Opera presents a season of heart, hope, and superb storytelling. Opening with Verdi's La Traviata, January 23rd and the 25th at the downtown Pensacola Sanger Theater. A story of love, sacrifice, and societal constraints that continues to resonate with audiences around the world. Then in March, the stage comes alive with Rodger and Hammerstein's Oklahoma. This feel-good musical is a classic and a true celebration of the American spirit. Performances are March 13th and 15th. Tickets and info at PensacolaOpera.com.
For almost 2 decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in tomorrow at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What makes you think she's a witch?
Well, she turned me into a newt.
A newt.
I got better. Be my woman, girl, be your man. Be
my woman, girl, be your man. Yes, I'll be your woman. Yes,
good morning, 7:59
yes,
on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David? David.
Good morning. Sorry about that. I had to hit some buttons here on this thing.
I understand.
So NASA is preparing for a medical evacuation from the International Space Station. Four members of Crew 11 are expected to undock from the space station later today. They'll splash down off the California coast tomorrow. Netflix trying to sweeten the pot a little bit on that Warner Brothers Discovery deal. The streamer says they're preparing to make a $72 billion all-cash offer now. The Warner board had rejected a couple of hostile takeovers.
I'll give you six aircraft carriers.
You're listening to